I was excited to handle the, I was looking forward rather to my turn in handling the 8 a.m. service. I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for us this coming month of February. Because as I was preparing for our time together in the Word, one burden that I have in my heart as I look at the circumstances and the situations around us is a burden for the truth. The truth. The truth of the Lord. Because as we are limited in our mobility, as we are sometimes quarantined in our homes, as we are with our families, sometimes we open ourselves up to many different teachings, many different ideologies, many different philosophies that I fear would influence our faith in the wrong way. Beloved, I'd like to remind us this morning that the truth is always under attack. And as believers, since we have the truth, we believe the truth, we try to live out the truth, as the world attacks the truth, then it attacks us as believers as well, trying to erode what has been given to us by grace. And I believe that one of the greatest dangers that we face as believers today in this world is not calamity, it's not persecution, it's not COVID. It is, I personally believe, and I would say this morning, that it is the danger of deception. The danger of deception. Of being led astray by the lies of false teaching. Because like I said, no matter where, no matter when in history, the attack on truth by sin, Satan, and society, also known as the world, has never stopped. And the only way we are able to guard ourselves against false teaching, against these lies that are forcefully being pressed down upon us and being fed to us, is to arm ourselves with truth. With truth. And to be able to do that, we must walk in truth. Amen? And that is what we will be talking about this morning. To walk in truth. As we start our series in our 8 a.m. service, my desire is to bring us back to the basics. In sports, the basics are very important. No matter how good you are, you always, no matter how skilled you are, you always go back to the basics. Okay? And you see basketball players always practicing dribbling skills. They're always practicing their shooting skills. They always go back to the basics. And it's not that different with regard to our walk with the Lord. No matter how much we know, no matter how much we think we know, we always go back to the basics. And the basics of what? Of what it means to walk in truth. Because if you look at it, dear brethren, there are four basic areas, basically, that we need to go back to when we talk about walking in truth. The four areas that we talk about, we can do that to categorize it, is the four basic areas is truth, love, obedience, and faithfulness. And loved ones, the task that faces our generation today as we live in this timeline of God's story as believers is to fight for the truth, because the fight for the truth today is fiercer than it has ever been. And the challenge for us as believers to stay true to the faith is oftentimes met with hostility. There is what is called cancel culture that is being pushed to us today. And what is cancel culture? It is, well, as the term implies, cancel, to cancel everything that is about God. And yet at the same time, if we by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's enabling, are able to walk in truth consistently and faithfully, despite the hostility, despite the pressure, despite the fierceness of the fight. We know that we are given the assurance of the experience of God's great blessing. Not material blessing, we know that. The Lord provides, of course. But the blessing of strength, the blessing of steadfast hope, the blessing of a secure future, the blessing of proving our faith to be genuine when we persevere, and as a result, the security of our souls. But in order for us to walk in truth as believers, we need to be reminded, and that is the reminder for us this morning. If you want to walk in truth as a believer, you must be defined by the truth. You must be defined by the truth. And what do I mean by being defined by the truth? Basically, it means that all that the Word of God is, all that the Word of God contains, its principles, its precepts, its doctrines, its commands, all of it, all that truth is the world that we live in. In other words, it defines our everyday lives. It defines how we live, how we communicate, how we love, how we respond, how we perceive circumstances in our lives. And in order for us to live in that world of the truth, so that the truth defines our lives, we must go back to those four areas of truth, love, obedience, and faithfulness. And it is my desire that as we go back to the fundamentals of the faith, that our faith would be strengthened, that we will be defined by the truth. This month of February, we will be going through 2 John. 2 John. We will be going through this fabulously short letter, this glorious letter, this gloriously personal letter from the Apostle John. It is a second letter in a series of letters that the beloved Apostle wrote in the later years of his life. Kumbaga ho, at this point, in John's life, he is the equivalent of the modern-day senior citizen. Ayan po, no? And it's amazing how he writes the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation almost in succession. If you look at the time that he wrote it, it was many years after the ministry of Christ, many years after witnessing the ministry of Christ, and he writes the gospel, he writes these three letters, and Revelation. It is interesting to know that John writes his three letters as a response to false teaching as well. First John deals with the false teaching. Second John is a personal letter that admonishes and exhorts his personal acquaintance to walk in truth. And it is a response to false teaching that is trying to deceive and take advantage of the members of the church that he is ministering to. John was ministering from Ephesus many years there most probably he was ministering with Timothy in Ephesus. So can you imagine, Timothy, after being with Paul, is with John. He is what we call the last man standing. The Apostle John, who is called the beloved apostle, and he is the last man who has ever witnessed the ministry of Christ. He was with Christ. He saw Christ. He heard Christ. He touched Christ. He was there. That is why the way he addresses his letters, he does not identify himself because the authority with which it is written and the manner in which it is written, he is so well known that he does not need any introduction anymore. And the style of writing is the same as if you will look at the Gospel of John. And of course, he discipled some of our apostolic fathers. And upon their testimony, they bear witness that this is from the hand of John. And here in 2 John, the apostle calls his readers back to the fundamentals of the faith to combat false teaching. And this morning, we will begin our series today by looking at verses 1 to 4, which draws our attention to the first fundamental of our faith, and that is to walk in truth by being defined by the truth. So open your Bibles with me and allow me to read to you 2 John verses 1 to 4. It says there, "The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father." Praise God. Five times the word truth is mentioned in this passage. And we learn that walking in truth is important because truth defines who we are as believers. If there's anything that defines us, as it is supposed to be the truth. The truth. Because our God is the God of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We are guided by the truth. And it is the truth that has saved us because of the true gospel that the truth proclaims. And this morning, as we walk through these four verses, we find four things that will remind us of what defines us as believers. And how the truth defines us as children of God. In verse 1, we find that we are defined by the truth because the truth is our bond. It unites us. In verse 2, the truth defines us because as believers, the truth is bonded to our hearts. It indwells us. We find that the truth defines us as believers because in verse 3, the truth blesses us. And we are defined by the truth because in verse 4, the truth borders our lives. What do I mean by it borders our lives? It controls, it sets the parameters for our lives. So the truth is our bond. The truth is bonded to our hearts. The truth blesses us, and the truth borders our lives. And as we go through these truths, dear brethren, I pray that we will submit to the Word of God. We will place our lives under the authority of God's Word. And today, starting today, may the truth define who we are. So verse 1, John says, "The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth." In verse 1, the truth is our bond. It unites us. Just a few clarifications that we need to make. The term "the elder" here refers to John. If you go back to the original, he's referring to himself. This is not addressed to the elder of the church that he is writing to, but he's referring to himself. And it is proof that he is already a senior citizen. Okay po? And he is referring to himself as the elder. And the recipient of his letter is the chosen lady and her children. And many, we might think that metaphorically, John might be saying, using this as a metaphor for the church. No, it's not. This is a person that he is personally acquainted with, he is personally concerned for, and he is writing this letter because some false teachers have been taking advantage of her hospitality and were trying to push false teachings upon her. So this is a literal person. This is a personal acquaintance of John and her family. And it is addressed to someone that John knew and was concerned about. Now, some of us might be thinking, why not the husband? Di ba ho? Why not? No, which is, I asked that question while I was studying. Why not the husband? Well, the answer is because it's a house church. And it's in her house. And during that time, di ba ho, people would exercise hospitality to those who would be traveling, especially to believers, especially to those who preach the word. And who would usually receive guests? It was the wife. And so to warn her, John addresses her. And it's not the husband that's being addressed because she is the lady of the house. She is in charge of receiving guests. And as the person who receives guests, as the person who is in charge of hospitality, she must be very discerning. She must be very careful because of the false teachers that were trying to deceive them and taking advantage of their hospitality. And so in this letter, John addresses her and warns her later on, as we go through the last part of 2 John, not to receive false teachers because of their deceitful and heretic teaching. But here in verse 1, John begins, and we notice a very important thing, the word truth. John says, the chosen lady whom and her children whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. In truth, and those who know the truth. He loves her in truth. This is the world where he loves her. It is founded on the truth. This is where our love is expressed within the truth. And it is expressed towards those who know that same truth, who are bonded and saved by that same truth. The Apostle John opens with the reminder of our bond as believers. That the truth is that which unites us. That the truth is the boundary of our unity and our bond with one another. Brothers and sisters, this is crucial. This is important. In a culture where we are trying to that in a culture that is trying to push towards us tolerance and acceptance of what is called sin, this is the boundary of our unity. This is the bond of our hearts and our souls. It is the truth. And it's not only the truth, but there's an important element to that bond that we have in the truth, because if our bond was just about a body of writings, it could be about anything else. But the truth that we are bonded together with is the truth that saves. The truth that has saved your soul and my soul. The truth that has united us to have the same Savior, the same God. And more importantly, it is the truth that John presents to us in verse 1 that has the byproduct of love. Notice verse 1, John says, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. By implication, it is not only John who loves this lady as a sister in the Lord, but all who know the truth. Notice, dear brethren, we are here together, gathered as a body in Christ, not only because we are bonded by the same truth, but isn't it true that we are also bonded by the truth that has produced love in our hearts towards each other? Diba? Diba ho? or ako lang yung nagmamahal. Hindi naman ho, no? Yung presyo lang po ng baboy ang nagmamahal ngayon po talaga, no? Yun lang ho nakakaano. Pero tayo, nagmamahalan po tayo. Amen? And John is reminding us of a very important thing. That our bond in the truth is not a cold kind of love. It's not a cold kind of bond. Love, beloved, is the byproduct that allows the truth not to be a cold kind of bond. Genuine truth in the heart of a believer will bear the fruit of love. It is love for one another. John says, I love, and not only I, but also all. And if you really think about it, isn't it true? When we were not able to gather, when we were not able to see one another, yes, we were with our loved ones, but we missed the church. It wasn't the building that we missed. Malamig ho dito eh, pag walang tao. Yeah. It was one another. Why? Because of the truth that has united us. But the question is, where did this love come from? How did this love come to be produced? It is because of the truth. The truth that we have, the same truth that you have in your heart. What truth? The truth of God's word. How did we come to know about the truth? Through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through the scriptures. 1 John 3:16 and verses 18 to 19 remind us, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. That's the truth. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Another truth. John says, little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth. So you see, dear loved ones, truth and love are inseparable. And the glorious and amazing thing about it is that aside from the bond that we have, because we believe the same truth, we receive the same truth, we have been saved by the same truth has produced love in our hearts, it is that truth that will protect us against deception as well. Because as we are bonded by the truth, it is that bond that we have that surrounds us so that we may protect one another. It is like a fence around a lot or a property. Why do we put up fences around our properties? Why do we put fences around our homes? It is to keep the bad elements out. Di ba ho? It is to keep the evil out and the good in. Now, some of us might be thinking, teka muna, Pastor, what does that mean that because we are bonded by the same truth that we will not allow unbelievers to come in to the church or into our lives? Does it mean that we will separate ourselves from the world, live under a rock, live in a cave somewhere? No, of course not. You know that that's not what I mean. But because of the truth, that is our bond. The truth gives us a proper understanding of the difference between love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and love for the lost that is expressed in compassion for their lost souls. Oh, we welcome the unbeliever who seeks, the unbeliever who is wanting to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome those who want Christ, who seek Christ, but we reject those who deny Christ. We reject those who say that Christ did not come, that Christ did not rise from the dead. We deny those who say that Christ is not God. We reject those who teach false things. But we welcome those who seek a Savior. And love and truth protect us in a world of lies by helping us know the genuine from the false. And we know the genuine from the false through the proof of authenticity that is provided by the truth, which is love. 1 John 4:20 tells us, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. Which is true. That is the proof of our faith. If I were to ask you what drives you to keep your family safe, it is love. It's the same principle. What keeps us protecting one another from false teachings is love. Love born out of the truth. We were born of truth. That is why we live in the truth. We are bonded by the truth. And our love is in the truth, expressed to those who know that same truth as well. And because of that strong bond that we have, it is stronger than any filial relationship we may have. It is a bond that will last up to eternity. It is a bond that sustains us and strengthens us and will bring us together when he comes back for his own. And because of that bond, we protect one another from the deception of the false by admonishing one another, even rebuking one another, teaching one another. If you want to see an example of that, we have one right before us in the letter of John. John is writing because he wants to protect the brethren from the false. And it is the love that he has born out of the truth that has bonded them together that motivates him to write this letter. This is an example of someone who is protecting the one that he loves from false teaching. And it is of importance for us, dear loved ones, to learn from this example. If you hear of someone starting to believe false teaching, go. Tell him. That is not what we believe. Warn him, false teachings. We know enough. Amen. We've been taught enough to be able to discern what is true from what is false. And John reminds us that this truth defines us because it has united us. You go anywhere in the world. You go to any church around the world, so long as it is a true church of God, it's almost instant. Di po ba? It's almost instant. And when you go there, you know that you belong. Right? Yung mga nakakabiyahe. Ngayon ho, syempre, hindi tayo nakakabiyahe, di ba? Pero dati, nung nakakalabas po tayo, di ba ho? Because it's that kind of bond that defines us. Because in reality, we are bonded as a family in the Lord. And not only that does this bond define who we are, but also that we are defined by the truth because the truth is bonded to our hearts. It indwells us. John says in verse 2, after he says, not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Truth, dear loved ones, defines a believer because it is permanently bonded to his heart. It is permanently bonded to our hearts. It is what indwells us. John says, for the sake of the truth. I believe that's the principle. It is because of. It is translated for the sake of, but it is also translated because of the truth. What truth? The truth contained in Scripture. 1 John 2:21 and 24 tell us, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. John, I'm making reference to 1 John a lot of times this morning because it is parallel to 2 and 3 John. And many of the principles in 2 and 3 John are found in 1 John. And John tells us that the characteristic of this truth is that it abides in us, which means it is always present in us. Does it mean that, is he referring to the memory that we have of Scripture? To be honest, not many of us have that great memory, di ba? We only know two verses sometimes. My God shall provide in John 3:16. Di ba ho, no? But what does it mean that the truth abides in us? Well, it means that it is always present in our lives. We are living out that truth. We may not have memorized it, but because the truth has transformed our lives, it is abiding in us, especially through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as our teacher, as our guide, as our comforter, as our counselor. And notice that it will be with us not only today, not only tomorrow, but John says, the Word of God says, and will be with us forever. Brothers and sisters, it is bonded to our hearts. And what is the implication of this? What is the implication of it having it bonded to our hearts? Then it means that our lives, dear brethren, will bear the fruit of the truth. Will bear the fruit of the truth. Remember before, you were not that patient, as you are as patient right now listening to me, when you did not know the Lord? Remember when you were driving, when you were an unbeliever, and a jeepney would stop right in the middle of the road? Oh, the murder in our hearts. But now, di ba? We are more patient. We love more. We have more grace. We understand more. We are able to bear one another's burdens. We are able to endure suffering. We are able to see things from a different point of view. Why? Because the truth has been bonded to our hearts. The truth has been indwelling us. And the natural thing that we need to do, because the truth is bonded to our hearts, if we say that the truth is indeed the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the transformation that we have experienced because of the gospel, then in order for us to protect the truth, we uphold the truth through our lives, and we proclaim the truth. Amen? We proclaim the truth. In a world full of lies, in a world full of deceit, in a world that seeks to destroy, in a world that seeks to deceive, when we live out the truth, when we proclaim the truth, when we believe the truth, we shine. To draw attention to ourselves? Of course not. But to point to the one who has given us the truth. Amen? Because as it abides in us, it is what has been given to us as a stewardship from the Lord. That's why it's bonded to our hearts. That's why it abides in us and will be with us forever, because as believers, God has given us stewardship of the Word. And we are to champion the Word in this world. Because, dear brethren, though we are in this world, we are not of this world. And some of us might be wondering, well, what does this look like? What does this look like? We find a great picture in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and a reminder for us. If you would kindly turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. There's a very important picture of who we are as believers, as the church of God, that is connected with the truth. Paul says to Timothy, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God." This is the household of God, which is the church of the living God. We are the church. And we are, as Paul pictures it, the pillar and support of the truth. The truth has been bonded to our hearts, has bonded us together, so that by illustration from Paul, we find the application that since we have the truth in us, it is our most blessed privilege to be stewards of the truth and to champion the truth, to defend ourselves from deception, to call out those who are teaching what is false, to protect one another from what is false, to come alongside one another when we find someone who is weak. We in the ministry have one of our young people who is not in a good situation right now, and that young person has blatantly told us that even if we message her, she will not respond. So, makulit ako. Diba? Makulit din ako, you know? So, I don't care if you don't respond. I'll just say hi. I'll just say hello. I'll just say I love you, praying for you. And I do that every now and then. And this very same youth who says that she will not respond, may konting breakthrough, no? Medyo pinupusuan na niya yung mga messages ko. Wala pa rin siyang sinasabi, pero pinupusuan po niya. The reason why I do that is because just like John, I'm bonded to that person by the truth. Until I see that she is not of the truth, I will still believe that we are bonded by the truth and that the truth is still bonded to her heart, and that at this point in time, she might not know it yet, but as I message her, as I tell her that we are praying for her, that we love her, that our relationship with her is still there, that all she has to do is just come back, we will be here for her. It is my prayer that the deception that has clouded her mind because of the truth would be made clear. And we as a church, as the pillar and support of the truth, it is our job to present the truth, to proclaim the truth. Whether it is in that way, whether it is this way, or whether it is through the platforms that the Lord has provided for us, because we have the truth, we must proclaim the truth. And as we proclaim the truth, as we are bonded by the truth, as the truth is bonded in our hearts, we begin to see that our lives take on a different form. Our lives start to be transformed. We begin to live in the truth. And as we live in the truth, we begin to walk in the truth. And as we walk in the truth, we find that as the truth defines us, the truth has also blessed us. And in verse 3, John presents to us how the truth has blessed us. He says in verse 3, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth." and love. Andun na naman. Truth and love, they are inseparable. The truth defines us because the truth blesses us, and we have received the greatest blessings of them all. John continues now as he writes to this lady, and he continues now in verse 3 with a common benediction. This is a very common benediction. And if you walk through scripture, if you look at the other letters, if you look at that, you will always find grace, mercy, and peace put together. And it's a common benediction or blessing, in other words. And he is reminding us of the blessing that we have received in the truth. And at the same time, it serves as a reminder for us today, as we are here today, of the blessings that we have. And what is the truth that has granted us these blessings? The blessings of grace, the blessings of mercy, the blessing of peace. It is, of course, the gospel. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, remind us of the gospel. John says, "By this, the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him, through Christ. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atonement, the one who has appeased the wrath of God, the propitiation for our sins, of our sins." Brothers and sisters, the progression that John places in the benediction is the story of our lives. The grace of God saved us. The mercy of God sent His Son. And the peace of God is what we receive because of Christ. All contained in the truth. We are defined by the truth because in reality, the truth has transformed us. There is no greater blessing. Amen? There is no greater blessing to experience in this world that to be transformed from sinner to saint, from unbeliever to believer, from child of wrath, object of wrath, to child of God and the apple of His eye. If you're here this morning and you have not experienced that blessing, today could be the day of salvation. God sent Christ. That's my most favorite thing about God. God saves. He is a saving God. Because none of us would be here if God wasn't a saving God. We would not know the love of God. We would not know the mercy of God. We would not know the sovereignty of God. We would not know anything about God if God was not a God who saved. But precisely because He saves, grace, mercy, and peace were given to us. The truth blessed us with these things. And when we have those three, we can ask for nothing else. Because when you are saved, God is going to take care of you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Remember who you were before? Let me remind you. Open to Ephesians chapter 2. We're familiar with this, but let's just remind ourselves. Maganda yung minsan naalala natin kung saan tayo nang galing, di ba? Sabi nga, ang taong hindi marunong tumingin sa kanyang pinanggalingan, mawawala. Hindi po, no? Remember, Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of who we were and who we are now. Verses 1 to 10. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature" what? Who were we before? "We were children of wrath, even as the rest." But because of the truth, grace, mercy, and peace, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, God being rich in mercy, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us. We don't deserve the kindness of God, and yet He shows that to us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Grace, mercy, peace, the peace that we have with God. God making peace with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest blessing that we have ever received. Because of that grace, because of that mercy, because of that peace, we are now, as Romans 8 verse 1 tells us, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in light of those blessings, because of the truth, the very truth that defines us, dear brethren, I ask you this question. Will you allow the world to defraud and to cheat you out of these blessings that we have received in Christ? Brothers and sisters, there is what Dr. Moeller calls a gathering storm ahead of us. A storm that is anti-God. A culture that wants to cancel out God in everything. That seeks to discredit the truth. That seeks to destroy the truth with its subtleties and lies. Will you allow the world to defraud and to cheat you out of these blessings? As Paul says, may it never be. Because the truth is our bond. The truth is bonded to our hearts, and we have received the greatest blessings because of the truth. And we protect that truth, that treasure in our hearts, by living a life that manifests the reality of that truth. Who you were before is not the person that you are now because of Christ. Since Christ, as one of our apostolic fathers said when he was about to be martyred, for 80 and plus years, Christ has never done me wrong, so why would I recant and deny Him now? He was burned. He was burned at the stake. The Lord has never done us wrong. Amen? We should never do Him wrong by denying Him and believing what is false in exchange for what is true. John tells us that grace, mercy, and peace come from no other source. Come from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. We have received these blessings poured out upon us in truth and love. Hindi tayo niloob ng Panginoon. They were given to us in truth and in love. That's why Romans 5 tells us, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have received the truth in love. In other words, I believe John is telling us, these blessings, dear brethren, since they come from God and from Jesus Christ, they come from a heart that is true, a heart that is loving. These blessings of grace, mercy, and peace will never run out. Praise God. Will never run out. If you're here today, you're discouraged, may the grace and peace and mercy of God be poured upon your heart know that Christ is with us, sustaining us, coming alongside us. Beloved, so long as we walk in truth and love, these blessings will protect us from deceit because they will filter out the lies. I love what John says in 1 John, in the last chapter of 1 John, verse 20. And we know, he says, that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. If we continue to walk in the truth, as we are bonded by the truth, bonded the truth in our hearts, the truth blesses us with mercy, grace, and peace, then it will give us the understanding that we need so that we may know Him who is true. And as we know Him who is true, as John tells us, then we will spot who is the false. So brothers and sisters, let us stay in the truth. Not only has the truth bonded our lives, bonded in our hearts, blessed us, but here is where we walk in truth. Because as the truth defines us, the truth now borders our lives. It surrounds our lives so that we may walk in truth. This is the world that we walk in, the world that we live in. Verse 4, John says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Like any shepherd of God's flock, John's greatest joy is to see believers, the members of that church, walking in truth. And I believe I speak for all of the pastors in our church family that there is no greater joy for us to see all of us walking in truth. That's why John says, I was very glad. Actually, it is translated exceedingly rejoicing. Okay, Paul. And he says that he is rejoicing not because he had a building, not because he had so many resources, not because of anything else, but because the brethren, some of her children, were walking in truth. Now, I love how John uses verse 4 as a hinge verse because it's sort of his jump-off point also. Next week, we will see to verses 5 and onwards when we talk about the next fundamental, which is obedience to the commands of God. He's talking about the first fundamental, which is truth, and he transitions that beautifully using verse 4. No, to jump into the second fundamental, which is obedience. But here he talks about walking in truth. Looking closely, we find the final truth that defines us as believers. And that is, the truth borders our lives. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, we live within the borders and boundaries of the truth. We are compelled by the truth, controlled by the truth. We have submitted our lives to the truth. The truth permeates everything that we do. How does it do that? Well, it has bonded us. It's bonded in our hearts. It has blessed us. It has indwelt us. And it commands us. Diba? Amen? The Word of God commands us. Example of the command, love one another. That's a command from the truth. And we are to obey that truth in order to live within the truth. It is by command. And the manifestation of that is our in obedience to the truth. Notice John says, walking in the truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. We've received this commandment, and I am very glad that you are obeying that commandment by walking in truth. And it is the same for us today. God is exceedingly glad when we heed His commandments and we walk in truth. Because it is within the boundaries of the truth that we experience the greatest blessings of our lives. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6 tells us, "By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. If one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I love how the Apostle John, who is known as the beloved apostle, and who has talked about love, has zero tolerance for those who do not know, who deny the truth. He has zero tolerance for it. He speaks in the absolute. What he's saying is, if you say that you know God and you have come to know Him, but you don't obey Him, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Because obedience will be the proof of genuine love and faith. But also he says, continuing in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 2, "But whoever keeps His word," God's word, "in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." In other words, we know that we walk in truth because of our obedience. Just as Christ walked in obedience, if we say we are in Christ, then we walk as He walked. Who Christ is, who Christ was, as He walked on this earth, that is who we are. That is what we strive to be. And I love how John uses that picture of walking. Diba, no? Walking in truth. No? It's a beautiful picture, because if I were to ask you, do you walk where you don't want to be? Diba? You always walk in the direction that you want to go, whether it is needed or because you want to. My legs don't go here and my body is here. Nakakatakot ho 'yon, 'di ba? Pag naghiwalay. We usually walk in places where we need to be and we want to be in. And as believers, we're not only needed in the truth, in other words, we're not only walking in the truth because we need it, but because we want it. We love it. We love to be in the truth. It is the same thing for us as believers. Those who are bonded by the truth, who have the truth bonded in their hearts, who have been blessed by the truth, those who have all of these things in their hearts will want to walk within the borders of the truth. Because it is within those borders, ironically, where we find the greatest freedom. The idea of having borders sometimes, no, medyo parang limiting. But God, who provides those borders, the borders of the Word, it is within those borders that we find the greatest freedom. That's why I'd like to encourage you this morning. I'd like to exhort you this morning, dear brethren, let us all walk in the truth. We are given assurance that as we walk in the truth by God Himself, that we will be able to do it. Why? 1 John 5 verse 3 tells us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are what? Are not burdensome." And they are not burdensome because that's where we want to be. That's where we want to live in, within the realm of truth. It is within the realm of truth. Brothers and sisters, as the world tries to deceive us, as the world tries to deny the truth, to destroy the truth in us, in the church, in this world, we are given the assurance that we can overcome the attacks of the world. Why? We are given another assurance by John in 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is the victory that has overcome the world? Our faith. Our faith. Beloved, let us not allow society or circumstance to deceive us from the truth. Let us not allow society or circumstance to tempt us to doubt and disregard the truth. But rather, let us live and walk in the truth, because it is the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel that will carry us today, tomorrow, into eternity for the rest of our lives. And that is what defines who we are. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving us the truth. And we thank you, dear Lord, for who you are in our lives. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and the peace that we have because of Christ. Thank you for the brethren who joined me this morning and for those who are watching at home. Lord, I pray for your blessing to be upon them. Protect them. Protect each and every one from COVID and other sicknesses, dear Lord. Lord, you know our needs. Pray for your provision to be upon them. Pray, dear Lord, for your blessing to be upon every job, every business, as they face another week tomorrow. Lord, provide for their jobs, provide for their businesses, provide strength for them, protect them as they go to work, as they tend to their businesses, dear Lord. And as we take care of our families, may we never forget that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are faithful and you are good. We love you, dear Lord, and in all these things we give thanks and give back all glory, honor, and praise to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.